Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There
is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sins are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power,
power,
wonder-working power
in the blood.
It is hard to know which travels faster, good news or bad news. Sometimes the same news is both good and bad, depending on who hears it. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11, it was good news to Lazarus' family, but bad news to those who opposed Jesus, since it would only increase his popularity. The same happened shortly thereafter when Jesus entered Jerusalem and the crowds hailed him as the Son of David who came in the name of the Lord. But his entrance was bad news for those seeking to stop him. Palm Sunday, the day we commemorate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, was a foreshadowing of the day he will arrive, not on a donkey, but on a white horse. It will be a time of celebration for those who have loved his appearing, but bad news for those who refuse to bow before him as King of Kings. On this Palm Sunday, remember the good news that Jesus Christ is coming to judge the nations and establish his kingdom for all who believe. I trust that you believe today. I trust that you know Jesus as your Savior. We're excited to bring this special Palm Sunday edition of Missionary Echoes to you. Stay tuned as we share this important time together.
Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all.
Lord Jesus, I praise you for being so meaningful to me and so many of our listening audience today. You do mean all the world to me. I marvel that you would love me so much to be willing to suffer the agonies of Calvary on my behalf. Yes, Palm Sunday was a celebration as far as the people were concerned, but it was a momentous time for you as you already knew what you were about to face. I pray for those who are listening to us today on this broadcast that this will be a meaningful time that we share together this Lord's Day morning. Many of our church family listen, and then so many outside of those who attend regularly find opportunity to tune in on these Sunday mornings to listen to us. And we get their response, and we thank you for how you're ministering to lives. We want to make a difference for your glory and honor. We pray that this day will be a day of true worship of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
If I were stronger, would I see a reason for trusting everything into your hands? Without this hunger, would I believe in a love my heart could barely comprehend? I never thought my brokenness could take me very far, but it's only through my weakness that I see how strong you are. So I'm willing to be weaker, a faithful seeker of your heart, to know your healing. I will be broken and empty vessel in your arms. So if that is what it takes to bring me to my knees, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to be weak. When I consider all I've been given, it's clear to me your ways are not like mine. So I surrender this life that I'm living, just to know a peace that you alone provide. Standing in the shadow of this mountain I have faced, I see your hand of mercy, but it's only by your grace that I'm willing to be weaker, a faithful seeker of your heart.
What an amazing song by Charles Billingsley that speaks such truth into our lives. I was so impacted by this song when I heard it and thought I've got to share that with you today on this broadcast. What value there is in being broken and made weak before the Lord so that He can make us strong, so that He can bring healing, so that He can do something with us when we are as clay in the potter's hands and willing to allow Him to fashion and mold us in the way that He wants us to be. I trust that that is meaningful to you today. We are about to begin Sunday school this morning at 9:30 and then morning worship at 10:30 as we celebrate Palm Sunday and Jesus coming into Jerusalem on that grand day of celebration as far as the people were concerned. And then this evening at 6 o'clock will be our evening service. Wednesday night, we will not be having prayer meeting because it will be a full rehearsal for all of those who are taking part in presenting the Easter musical next Sunday. We actually will be presenting it this Saturday night already at 6 o'clock at the Lebanon God's Missionary Church, and then again Sunday morning at 9:30, and then at 10:45 next Sunday, Easter Sunday morning, presenting the Easter musical, He's Alive. We will be offering communion during that time, and so if that is of interest to you, you may participate in that as the musical is being done when we get to that part where Jesus is with His disciples around the table in the upper room. But we want you to come and join us at the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. We're located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Our church has been active here for over 40 years in ministry and reaching the lost, especially through our outreach and bus ministry for the last 38 years. Many of you know our buses, thousands have ridden across the years, and what a blessing it has been to be able to minister to so many that God has sent our way. And by God's grace, we're going to continue. So plan to be here this morning, again tonight, and then next Sunday for Easter, one of the morning services at 9:30 or 10:45, and then the evening service at 6 o'clock, back to a regular service again Easter Sunday night. Stay tuned as we enjoy the remainder of the broadcast today.
Take my life and use it for Thy glory.
Sing there all for me.
Remember how Jesus sent the disciples in Matthew chapter 21 to get a donkey along with its little colt, and when they would be asked about their taking these animals from whomever owned them, that they should respond that the Lord hath need of them. And that's what I want to focus on this morning from Matthew chapter 21 and verse 3. The Lord hath need of them. And it tells me that the Lord needs you. So I want us to think about that with this message today. The last several decades have witnessed a steady succession of public demonstrations for special causes. A nonviolent demonstration in Montgomery, Alabama back in the mid-1950s began the civil rights movement and started Martin Luther Jr. on a spectacular career as the movement's leader. In more recent times, protests associated with the Occupy movement had sprung up in cities all over the United States to protest corporate greed and corruption. And throughout the years, protesters have held peace marches to call for an end of our participation in war. Demonstrations are not a new means of expression of public opinion. The triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on the last week of his earthly life was an emotional demonstration. Jerusalem was crowded with those who had gathered to observe the Passover, the most important feast of the year. The crowds were keyed up with national expectations that God would raise up a king to deliver them from the power of Rome. Shouts of Hosanna or Save Now filled the air as the crowd acclaimed Jesus as king. The king came riding, not as an earthly king, however, on a white horse, but as the Prince of Peace on a lowly donkey. We marvel at Jesus' courage. Jesus publicly entered the hostile city. He could have skipped this dramatic entrance and slipped into Jerusalem after dark through the back streets. But his hour of coronation had arrived, and he willingly occupied the center of the stage. Every eye was on him, including the envious and vengeful eyes of his enemies. We marvel at his courage. We also marvel at Jesus' open claim for himself. Jesus allowed the multitude to recognize him as God's Messiah. Had he been satisfied to be just another prophet, he would likely have escaped death at the hands of his adversaries. But he could not deny himself to be Lord of all, and surely to be the Savior of humankind. He consciously and confidently traveled a road that would lead irrevocably to the cross. We also marvel at Jesus' compassion. A strong man weeping is always a moving scene, but there come times and experiences when words are powerless and when the only release from an overwhelming sorrow is the flow of tears. At such a time, tears are the good gift of God. Jesus stood above the beloved city of Jerusalem and saw its poverty, its materialism, its empty religious forms and practices, and its unbelief. He saw the hate and bitterness of those who plotted his death. He saw the calloused rejection of his spiritual claims by the multitude. He saw the impending doom that hung over the city. He saw people, teeming multitudes of people, as sheep without a shepherd. And he wept in his overwhelming sorrow as they faced the judgment of God. We marvel at Jesus' gracious consecration. Jesus appeared riding on a donkey. The unsympathetic witnesses were probably amused and perplexed and scornful at this ludicrous demonstration. They were too blind to see that he was teaching them a vital lesson. His kingdom is not of this world. His victory comes not through war, but through peace. Those who would follow him are not the proud, but the humble, not the self-sufficient rich, but the poor in spirit. Why did Jesus choose a donkey, so awkward, so stubborn, so lowly? If he could not do any better, why did he not walk? This is the only time the Bible records that Jesus rode. That's interesting. He was to teach us that whatever he touched, he dignified. He was to impress upon us that no matter how despised the object, Christ had use for him. Oh, what hope that brings me. Are you willing to be weak for him? Fifthly, we marvel that Jesus uses common people. There was not a highly educated man among the original disciples. Not one was a scholar. Not one had wealth or fame. Four had been fishermen. One had been a noted tax gatherer. They were men with weaknesses and flaws like the rest of us. Some had a fiery nature. They stumbled and fell. Yet Jesus took these obscure men and through them turned the world upside down. Christ will work with anyone who will give him a consecrated heart. He's not impressed with our pious, false humility when we say, "Oh, he cannot use me because I'm not clever, I'm not talented, or I'm not articulate." You know what? He could use a lowly donkey, and he can use you. Praise him as you surrender yourself to him. Number six, we marvel that Jesus uses committed people. Among the greatest Christian people in history, there are many who had obscure beginnings. John Bunyan was not a polished writer. He was limited in his education. Scholars sneered at his writings, but the response of the multitudes established his allegory, Pilgrim's Progress, as the greatest in the English language. When William Booth founded the Salvation Army, the press ridiculed him. The London Times always put his rank of general in quotes, but he led and inspired an army for Christ that has spread around the world. Dwight L. Moody was an unlettered man. He never went to college. His manner was crude and his grammar was atrocious. Someone said he was the only man he had ever heard who could say Mesopotamia in one syllable. English teachers came to hear him in order to condemn his grammar, but they left praising the Christ whom Moody proclaimed. He was the greatest evangelistic influence in the 19th century. He gave God everything he had, and God used him far beyond other more talented but less dedicated preachers. Oh, God help me. God help us. At Carisbrook Castle in England, a donkey works in a little round house. His job is to go around and around and around in a circle. That is all he does. There's no starting place and no stopping place. Is there any purpose in this endless circle, we ask? When we observe that he is drawing water from a very deep well in the heart of the castle, he's not walking in circles for nothing. On a hot day, he can give you a cool drink. A spirited horse would not submit himself to such drudgery and monotony. But even the most obscure and humble among us can draw water from the wells of the Spirit of God and give a drink to the thirsty. Hallelujah. An impressive recruiting poster during World War II pictured Uncle Sam looking straight at you, pointing his index finger in your face. Beneath his picture were the words, "I need you." The poster dramatically expressed urgency. America was fighting for its life. And not only do we need Christ, but Christ needs us. He has no hands but our hands to do his deeds of kindness and mercy. He has no feet but our feet to do his errands of world mission. He has no tongue but our tongues to proclaim the good news of his gospel. You may feel that you do not have much to offer. All he asks is the best of what you have. He does not even require success. All he requires is faithfulness. The Lord has need of you. Oh, what a wonder. It makes us marvel, but we must be willing to be broken and made weak before him so that he can make us whole and strong and able to accomplish what he wants us to accomplish, to win others to him. He wants all of you right now and forever. Praise his wonderful name. I trust you're willing to submit to him and let him have absolute sway in your life today. God bless you on this Palm Sunday.
There, Lord, I'll be a witness if you would help my weakness. I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, to thee. My eyes of faith, I see thee upon the cross of Calvary. There, Lord, I pray, let me thy servant be. Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do. Even though it's humble, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. I'll stand for thee there, Jesus, though death may come my way. I'll spread the gospel to the fallen here. But if I will, Lord, to go across the sea. Lord, help me to be willing to say yes. Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do. Even though it's humble, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Rose of Sharon, he's all the world to me, but best of all, he's my coming King. Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can. Even though it's humble, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you.